Eternal God, go into the peace of your presence. We bring our restless lives. Down through the ages, men and women have sought you and found that your faithfulness has no end. Your people long ago journeyed by your guidance and rested on your love. So guide us as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night, that our imaginations may be filled with your beauty, our minds fired by your truth, our hearts overflowing with your love. For without you, life has no source or purpose or destiny. Refresh our faith, restore our confidence, and lay your guiding hand on our lives. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O Lord, hear us as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Be seated, please. Let the children come forward for the children's moment. Howdy. I love your glasses. They look great.
That's good.
Hey, guys. Hey. There's a song, but I'm not going to sing it because everyone would leave. So I'm going to read the song to you. It's called Five Little Ducks. Have you heard it? Okay. That's probably a good thing. Let me read this to you. Five little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only four little ducks came back. Four little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. Very good. But only three little ducks came back. Three little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only two little ducks came back. Two little ducks went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. But only one little duck came back. One little duck went out one day over the hill and far away. Mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. But none of the five little ducks came back. Sad mother duck went out one day over the hill and far away. The sad mother duck said, quack, 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 quack. And all of the five little ducks came back. Now, I know you think that might be a crazy story, but let me tell you, it's really kind of cool. It's a great song. And the reason is it talks really a lot about how much the mother duck loved her babies. And she wasn't going to give up till she got them all back. And she did get them all back. And the interesting thing about that is that it's a good picture of the love that Jesus has for his children. The Bible tells us that one day Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and wept. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. What a beautiful picture of Jesus. Like a mother hen, Jesus calls his children to come to him so he can shelter and protect them. Now the question is, has Jesus stopped calling his children? No. No, you're right. No, he is still calling his children today. Do you think Jesus will stop if some of his children come back? No. You think he'll stop if most of his children come back? No. I don't think so. I think the Bible teaches us that Jesus loves his children so much that he won't stop calling until all of his children come back, just like the mother duck. He may be calling some of us today. So when you're out and about and you see things going on that you know is a moment to tell people about Jesus, that you can help him call his children back. You can say, come to church with me, because Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that your Son continually calls us, that your love for us is so great that you sent him to die for us. And we give you thanks that we are able to come to this church today and to praise your name. Be with us and guide us, for we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you. Good job.
When we draw together in prayer, it is a different time than we have in any other point in our life. This is the time in which we remember those who were dear and have passed, the time we remember those who are near and close, the time we remember those who are ill of mind or body or spirit or in places of danger. This is the time that we come together, and we do it as Christ's people. Let us pray. Holy One, God, loving Creator of life, in the light of this day, I turn toward you. Loving Presence in Christ, King of my soul, in the light of this day, I turn toward you. Spirit, fresh and pure, bright and free. In the light of this day, I turn toward you. This day has arrived, this day has begun, and I open the gates to flood each second with the wonder and amazement, the brimming full life that you have set before me. May my thoughts be reminded, may my words be reminded, may my actions be reminded, and may each step be one of gratitude and praise, O God. Eternal One, Spirit without limit, there is a ringing promise, sharp and clear, brassy bright and loud, that is carried across the landscape of our living. Its sound is unmistakable. Its sound is true. Its sound announces your unfailing love. And yet, O God, we are deaf. We cannot hear or cover our ears, our hearts missing what is at hand, what is within our grasp, what rests within our deepest selves. We are your children. We are the sparkling creation of your loving intent. We are only more, not less. We are hearts pounding, souls waiting, instruments in hand, the uplifted brush, the voice poised to sing. We are the fullness of your promise, O God. We are all of these, old friend, but we don't know it. Traveling God, we are on the road. We pray that it is opened wide with your love. We travel toward that place, that destination, that home, that is a return and rediscovery of what you have promised all along. You have heard our pleas, O God. You have listened to our confusion, O God. Lead us along the way, revealing of that waiting promise, nearer to you, nearer to us. We pray for these things, Holy One. Hear us, words spoken and unspoken, O God. May we know you as a good friend, loving parent, and may we listen. The one who came as messenger and guide, the one who fulfilled your promise among us, we pray in that name, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
If we fill our hours with regrets over the failures of yesterday and with worries over the problems of tomorrow, we have no today in which to be thankful. This is a time that we gather and partake of the meal that our Lord did. It's a time to be thankful. Thankful for the life given for us, and thankful that we're able to carry that ministry on. Our elders pray.
Oh God, we come to this table, a central element of our worship this Sunday morning, with praise and thanksgiving. We are grateful for the gift of life. As we see the beginning of another week, we break bread, asking that in this act of worship, its significance may become more meaningful for in each of our lives. Bless each unspoken prayer that in silence we place before you, O God.
Lord, may this cup be a cup of blessing to each one present as it reminds us once again of your unfailing love. We give thanks for Jesus and his sacrifice that we might be redeemed. May our hearts and minds, O God, be open to the leading of your Holy Spirit. In confidence and assurance, we call upon you to use us according to your will as we seek to bear witness to the truth. Amen.
On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." I'd like to remind everyone of the special offering in your envelopes as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings. Our offertory meditation. Rick Warren wrote in The Purpose-Driven Life, "You were put on earth to make a contribution. You weren't created just to consume resources, to eat, breathe, and take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. One of the ways that we make a difference is contributing to the ministry of the church so that we have outreach, that we can do Randy Sam's, that we can do a Christmas dinner, that we can have programming that serves everyone. I ask that at this time, as we give of our tithes, our talents, that you think about the many gifts that you have given through the years simply by placing something in the offering plate. Let us give and receive our offering. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these gifts, and we ask that you give us the wisdom and knowledge to use them in such a way as to further your ministry here on earth. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 3, 17 through 4, 1. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in the shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be conformed to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Johnny. Appreciate the reading. Have you ever noticed at times the Apostle Paul appears to be arrogant, conceited? Look at me, do what I do. Does that catch your attention when he does that? He does that a lot. But the reality is, when he was dealing with those new to the way, to new Christians, they still had much of their pagan beliefs intact. Paul, knowing a more excellent way, and having practiced the way of Christ for some time, used himself as an example. And you'll notice later he says, use us. So he includes others. But would this be arrogance or confidence? From the other letters of Paul, it seems he knows himself well enough to say, follow my example. Not everyone knows himself or herself that well or has that kind of confidence. There have been very famous people who did not know themselves very well or feel very confident. About halfway through a PBS program on the Library of Congress, Dr. Daniel Boorstin, the Librarian of Congress, brought out a little blue box from a small closet that once held the library's rarities. The label on the box read, Contents of the President's Pocket on the night of April 14th, 1865. Since that was the fateful night Abraham Lincoln was assassinated, every viewer's attention was seized. Boorstin then proceeded to remove the items in the small container and display them on camera. There were five things in the box. A handkerchief embroidered A. Lincoln. A country boy's penknife. A spectacles case repaired with string, a purse containing a $5 bill, Confederate money, some old and worn newspaper clippings. The clippings, said Boorstin, were concerned with the great deeds of Abraham Lincoln. And one of them actually reports a speech by John Bright, which says that Abraham Lincoln is one of the greatest men of all times. Today, that's common knowledge. The world now knows that British statesman John Bright was right in his assessment of Lincoln, but in 1865, millions shared quite a contrary opinion. The president's critics were fierce and many. His was a lonely agony that reflected the suffering and turmoil of his country, ripped to shreds by hatred and a cruel, costly war. There is something touchingly pathetic in the mental picture of this great leader seeking solace and self-assurance from a few old newspaper clippings as he reads them under the flickering flame of a candle all alone in the Oval Office. Remember this, loneliness stops where the buck stops. Even with Paul's confidence, his way was often a very lonely way. Many in the churches of Paul's time began to feel lonely, that is, set apart from their friends of the old life. It became attractive to go back, to return to the old ways and to old friends because of the persecution going on, And so Paul says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. When our neighbors see us, whether it be at home, shopping, or wherever, would they want to follow us? Do we have the confidence to say, follow my example? And if we do not have that confidence, what do we need to do to gain it? Do you have any old newspaper clippings? What instruction do we feel we need, or to whom or what do we feel we need to turn to? An article entitled The State of the Church was written in 2002. There was a survey conducted with self-pronounced Christians, and here's what the survey revealed about their knowledge of the Bible. Keep in mind, these are Christians. 48% could not name the four Gospels. 52% could not identify more than two or three of Jesus' disciples. 60% of American Christians couldn't name even five of the Ten Commandments. 61% of American Christians thought the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy Graham. 71% of American Christians thought God helps those who help themselves is a Bible verse. A surveyor said, Americans revere the Bible, but by and large, they don't know what it says. And because they don't know it, they have become a nation of biblical illiterates and lack confidence of faith. Christians are far too ignorant of the Word of God. We need to get into spiritual shape. If we get into spiritual shape, we will have confidence in faith. So as Christians, we need the confidence that faith brings. To gain that confidence, we can read Scripture, learn Scripture, and know Scripture. But what more can we do? Maybe reading isn't going to be enough. It's just maybe not enough for some of us. What more is needed to gain confidence? Well, we certainly need to be careful to whom we turn if we are seeking to follow another. And if a good example is right in front of us, we certainly need to discern what it is that person embodies that is in fact a good example and learn from him or her. Have you had someone pointed out to you as a good example but failed to heed the example? There is an old story about an older couple having dinner in a restaurant. The wife sees another couple about their age sitting in a booth nearby. She sees the husband sitting close to his wife with his arm around her. He is whispering things in her ear, and she is smiling and blushing. He's gently rubbing her shoulder and touching her hair. The woman turns to her husband and says, "Look at the couple over there. Look how close that man is to his wife, how he's talking to her. Look how sweet he is. Why don't you ever do that?" Her husband looks up from his dinner and glances over at the booth, then turns to his wife and says, "Honey, I don't even know that woman." You got to know who to follow. I mean, it's just. Yeah. Paul says, "For as I have often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven." When we look for an example to follow, we must do so with discernment. We must do so with an understanding of what it means to be a person of faith. Like the young teenage boy who had just gotten his driver's license. When he got home, he asked his father, who was a minister, if they could discuss the use of the car. His father took him into his study and said to the boy, "I'll make you a deal. If you bring your grades up, study your Bible a little, and get a haircut, then we'll talk about the use of the car." After about a month, the boy came back and again asked his father if they could discuss the use of the car. They again went to the father's study, where his father said, "Son, I've been so very proud of you. You have brought your grades up. You've studied your Bible diligently, but you didn't get your hair cut." The young man waited a moment and replied, "Dad, I've been thinking about that. You know, Samson had long hair, Moses had long hair, Noah had long hair, and even Jesus had long hair." His father interrupted him at that point and said, "Yes, son," and they walked everywhere they went. Paul says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends." Our best example is our Lord and Savior. Make no mistake about it. To find out what he was like and what he did, we need to turn to Scripture. If we know ourselves, if we know our heart's desires, we will read and learn. And as Paul pointed out to the church, if you change, if you really desire and make a change, be prepared, for your change is not to be accepted by everyone. A prominent businessman who announced at a luncheon his decision to give away a significant amount of money to his alma mater caused great division within his family, for his money was coming out of what his children believed to be their rightful inheritance. The man, once one to find great joy in drinking, had had a life-changing experience through his faith. One of his children asked him why he was giving so much money. When he replied that it brought him great joy, the child pointedly asked why he didn't go back to drinking. Not everyone will accept our change. But if a change is warranted, we need to make that change. And if it takes reading about our Lord to understand what our Lord was about, then we need to do that. How sad if we don't even know 4 or 5 of the disciples. We only know 5 of the 10 commandments. And then we go and we talk to our neighbor and we say, "Why don't you be one of us?" And you know, I think some of them might say, "I already am, because I don't know that much about the Bible. I don't know that much about my faith." The peace of a new life, of making a change or changes in Christ, can be the lack of peace in one who doesn't understand or accept the change. So ultimately, know thyself. Know that God loves you, and know that God will not abandon you. And whatever change you make, God will be in your corner, applauding and cheering you on to continue the change. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know that oftentimes we don't meet the expectations of being a good Christian, a good disciple. But we ask that you forgive us, that you put your Spirit in our hearts and in our minds, that we may push on and head to that goal, that all around us may know when we say, "Use my example," they know it's a good one, and they know it's one they can trust. Be with us, empower us, strengthen us as we go forth, that we may continue to do your will and your work. For we ask these things in your Son's name, the great example. Amen. Our invitational hymn is "Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone." Would ask if there are any who would like to join the church by profession of faith or transfer of letter that you come forward as we sing. I want to remind you that Dr. Terry Ewing is here and there are books back there. He made it clear to me that they do cost. I was trying to push them off and take them with me, and he said, "No, I have to charge you." So I put them all back so you can buy them. But there's cups, there's all kinds of things back there. I would ask that you check those out and take the opportunity to talk to Dr. Ewing. Also, I want to thank our youth once again. That was an excellent presentation. Do great work. A lot of people benefited from the work they did at Midwinter Camp. And I want to thank our choir, because that anthem was just absolutely fantastic. Thank you. Let us stand as we sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Thank you again for blessing my Sunday and blessing me with your presence. And I pray that all of you have a wonderful week. Let us receive the benediction. And now may God the Father, the God of hope and the God of love, abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.